this is Youth Sunday. I said something earlier about a big crowd being here today, and my mom said they heard you weren't preaching. That came from my mom. It's a lot of encouragement there, but I didn't have a tie on, so there you go. That's probably the problem. No, we're glad you're here this morning. You will be blessed beyond measure. God is amazing, and these kids have just turned it over to Him, and they've got the whole service after the announcements. Thank you.
So, my name's Tyler. I am a senior at Stockton High School, and I guess I'm the one doing the message today, but thank goodness I'm not the only one talking. This Youth Sunday idea was something that Steve probably approached us about last spring around there, and we went, "What?" I really don't know about that one, but it's been a little hard over the summer getting this done because, you know, we're gone all the time, and, you know, we're teenagers, we're busy, but we really want this, and we're really excited about this, and just ready to turn this over to God and show you guys what our youth group does. So we kind of realized that maybe, like, all of you don't know all of our names, so we decided to make a video introducing most of us. We didn't get everyone in it because summer's busy again, but here's a video introducing our youth group in the style of everyone's favorite 1970s sitcom, Full House.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a weird Sunday making all those. But before we kind of get moving on, I want to give a big thank you. Right now, in your little bulletin that you read, when it says youth and children's pastor, it just says pending. Like we're a patent waiting to happen. So I just want to give a big thank you to Darren Henderson. He's been volunteering doing our youth group. And he's up there in the sound booth going, "You shouldn't have done this." But he deserves it, and we thank him for that. Next, we're going to have Riley and Trevor come out here, and they're going to kind of talk about what our youth group does, because not all of you maybe not know that we go like to each other's houses all the time and do stuff, or like our Sunday nights look different than our Wednesday nights. So they're just going to come out and talk about that.
Is it on now? Okay. So, I'm Riley. This is Trevor, as most of you know, anyways. We're going to quickly talk about some things you may or may not know about the youth group. For starters, Sunday night youth and Wednesday night youth are completely different. On Sundays, we do a longer devotional and, like, really get into the Word and focus on what it's trying to get through to us. And on Wednesday nights, it's a shorter devotional and more fellowship and game time, which I think has really helped us build our relationship stronger than it was before. And which one of my favorite parts of this youth group is how close we are, which leads me to the next point about how much we've grown together over the last year. And I think I speak for everyone when I say that youth group is one of my favorite places. And, you know, we all just really help each other, and we tell each other everything, and we keep each other in line and keep each other's eyes focused on Christ. And I lost my spot. And we're really just like a little family, and I love every single one of them.
Sometimes.
But now I'm going to hand it off to Trevor, and he'll finish it up.
So I'm going to talk about the kind of events that we do as a church. The biggest one that we do is church camp, and I stress this so much. If you are a youth and you have thought about and are trying to decide to go to church camp, please do. It is one of my favorite places on the planet, if not the best. And it's so encouraging to just go and be around others of your age who are fellow believers and just get refreshed in the Word. The other things we do, we like to do walk-ins and activities like that. Every year we go down to the corn maze in Verona, get Riley scared a lot. We go there, we do walk-ins, we spend the night at the church and do a midnight worship and devotion and do lots of hide and seek around the church with the lights off, and it's really spooky. Riley gets scared. It's a reoccurring theme of Riley getting scared a lot at the youth. We also help out with wood cutting during the winter for all the people who can't go wood cut and have furnaces and need wood. We go with some of the older men in the church and we go cut up wood and just help load logs, and it's great to help just serve the church. The last thing I have is the post-youth stuff. So usually after Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, we'll just go and be together. We'll go get Sonic or go to Dog Dinner and get snacks. We'll go watch a movie or play a board game or just be together. And that's the best part of youth, is just being together and with each other in the Word. So I love that. Next coming up is Emily Burton with her testimony.
So like Trevor said, my name's Emily, and I believe most of you know me or have heard of me, and if you don't, hi, I'm Emily. So like they said, we do hang out a lot, and Tyler texted me probably 2 weeks ago and was like, "We need more people to share." And the Lord was really like, "Emily, you need to share," but I didn't want to do it. I don't like talking in front of people, and Tyler was like, "Emily, you need to share," and I was like, okay. So the past, before I get into my testimony, I just want to tell you guys a little bit about myself. I'm a senior in high school, which is crazy. I don't know how we got here. And I have attended church here ever since I was born. Like, I grew up in this church. It's just always been the second home. I went over to a private school in Bolivar from preschool to eighth grade called Polk County Christian School. My mom was a teacher there, and she's an administrator, so I was there all the time. And it was just a place where I got to grow in the Word. We had Bible in almost every subject. We had to memorize memory verses. and we had chapel every Friday, and it was just a great time. So I'm being homeschooled through high school, which I have really enjoyed because it's given me freedom to go and do some of the other things like helping at the school, helping working more hours at work, and just being with people I care about. I was saved in the fourth grade, and Pastor Steve baptized me on Easter Sunday at the lake, and that water was so cold. Like, I can still remember that to this day, how cold the water was. And I remember waking up knowing it was going to be cold, and I didn't want to do it. My parents were like, Emily, you got to do it. And so we went, and I have never regretted it ever since. So the past year and a half, I was really convicted about making it more personal, because I always knew all the facts, and I knew everything that the Lord wanted me to do, but it never was personal. It was always more of a routine than anything else. Like, I knew my week. Sunday, I'd go to Sunday school, go to church, go home, have lunch, come back, do kids class or youth, whatever it was. And then go to school for the week, do Bible, learn Wednesday night, youth, kids class, and do it all again the very next week. So I knew exactly what I was going to do, and so it became like a routine, as I said. So as I started to make it personal, the Lord really showed me, like, your attitude needs to change. So it got better. And then my relationship with people got closer. Like, I became more vulnerable and more open. But then there was a week this summer where I felt like everything was spiraling. I wasn't in control anymore. And it was basically between stress and anxiety, I couldn't function like I wanted to. I was homesick. I was unable to show up to things because at work, we have 9 employees at work. And so trying to cover everything, get everything done was really stressful. And a bunch of new employees, it's hard to train them all. And then Youth Sunday, like Tyler said, was supposed to be this summer, the week after VBS, and between VBS and everything, it was just a lot, because we didn't have much plan, because with baseball and softball, it just was hard to plan and get stuff done. And then with VBS, between rehearsals and being here every night, it just never, everything became about me. I never wanted to let people know that I wasn't okay, that I was stressed. And so one day, I was home, not feeling the best because of my anxiety, and the Lord was like, okay, you have to be open. You can't do this alone, because if you do, you're just going to fall and you're going to break. So as I was home, I started digging into my Bible and listening to more worship music, and the Lord really showed me, like, you need my help, but you also need to be vulnerable with people around you, whether it was my parents or my brother or Riley and Tyler and Trevor in our youth group. I'm a very close off person, and so wanting to tell people that I'm not okay is not easy. So as I started to, I started feeling better. I wasn't feeling as stressed. I had this peace that I didn't understand, because I knew all this stuff around me was going wrong, but yet I wasn't in control, but I felt like everything was going to be okay. Some days are still easier than others. Going through college and getting ready for college and being a senior, like, there's a day last week where I just didn't feel great, and I realized I hadn't been in the Word like I was supposed to. I hadn't prayed like I'd been supposed to. It wasn't about Jesus, like Steve says every week. It's not about me, and it was starting to become that again. So whenever I did, I just have to look back and think, well, how long has it been since I listened to Caleb? How long has it been since I've read my Bible and actually meant to read it? Like, it wasn't just something to check off my to-do list. And as I started to do that, it started getting better. And this past few week, I've just been really, I had something completely different written out to share with you guys, and I threw it away because I knew that wasn't right. Nothing sounded right in the Lord. Like, someone needs to hear this. So whenever God isn't the center of your life, you're not going to be in control. You may think you're in control, but everything around you is going to fall apart. But when He is, you may not be the center, but He's going to hold you no matter what comes. Because if He's the center of your life, you can't be moved. I want to challenge you guys to make your relationship with God deeper, and to make your faith stronger, and be open with people and vulnerable, even in the hardest times. But I also want to thank you guys for allowing us to come in, share with you guys today, and I hope everything that we say and do, you guys will listen, but that you won't hear our words, but you'll hear the words that God wants you to hear. So. If you guys will stand with us as we sing 2 more songs.
Yes, I will. Look in your heart, and know it's valley.
I'm also going to be sharing my testimony like my sister today, and I first am also going to give some background on me too. My name is Lucas Burton. Some of you may know me, some of you may not. I am 14 years old. Yes, that means I can drive next year, so watch out, please. I go to Polk County Christian School, and I was baptized on April 30th, 2017, and how I really came to that decision was we were in school and we were doing Bible, and I decided my life needed to come to Christ, and I just really wanted to make that decision. I can think of days I would come home crying and I would just be alone and start crying, and I would be like, God, I need to accept you and choose you to be my Savior. I was baptized here by my dad, and after I was baptized, I thought everything was going to be perfect. I thought nothing bad was happening to me. But then I found out that's when the devil really starts working on you. And when I hit later year in third grade and beginning of fourth grade, I had struggled with anxiety for the longest time, where I missed school days because I wanted to go home because I just felt sick to my stomach. Like, it was so bad that I didn't want to do it anymore, that I just sometimes wanted to stay home and just sleep because it was a rough day and something would happen and I would get so anxious about it, and it was just not a good time. And I was trying to get my mind distracted off of stuff with like social media apps and just trying to take my mind off of it. But then when I was done with that, I was like, okay, well, I'm back on this. So I found out I was putting stuff in front of God, and what I should have done from the very beginning was gone to God and asked him for help. But instead, I tried to fight it on my own. Until eventually, I sat down with my parents, and we talked through it, and we came up with two conclusions. First, I was going to a counselor, and that really helped me, and then I stopped going, and it was just back up again. And then that's when we sat down, and my dad told me, well, the first thing you need to do is talk to God and just ask him to help you. So as I would go through my days, I would just ask God to please take this burden off me that I have, and that whenever I was anxious about something, I would just pray to him. And I can remember some days in the middle of class, I would just stop what I was doing and I would just take a moment to pray. It wasn't a very quick prayer. It was just like, Lord, take this anxiety off me. And it would work for the longest time. And then my dad introduced another thing, because I was a very afraid person. I always went to the worst case scenario every time something happened. So my dad sat down with me, and he told me and taught me something called the fear and truth island. So I would tell him my fear, and he would say, well, your fear is that this is happening. And he'd be, the truth is you're safe. And we will protect you no matter what. And God will always be with you. He will stick with you no matter what the circumstances. And that really helped me with my anxiety. Now, to this day, I still have anxiety about stuff. But I can just always remember that I can go to God no matter what.
and that I do not have to fight it alone. I always try to fight stuff by myself. I try to find happiness in stuff that doesn't make me happy. And I need, and based in a verse I always go to is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God." And I love that verse so much. But the part I hang on to the most is do not be anxious about anything. That's, my teachers will tell me that. My parents will come in and write it on a sticky note and put it on my desk because they know if I have a test that I'm going to be anxious about it. And they'll tell me, do not be anxious about anything. And I go through my days and I know I have people to talk to, whether it's people in the church, people in my youth group, my parents, teachers, and even God. So even though I do still struggle with anxiety, I thank God for everything that He's done in my life, and I cannot wait to see what He takes with me. And yeah, that's all I got.
You know, the most annoying part about this mic is that I think I have fatter cheeks than Steve does. So it like rubs up against my face the entire time. But let's just give a big round of applause for everything that everybody said so far. So if you guys will open your Bibles with me, we'll read the verse that I kind of wanted to focus a little bit on. And that would be 1 Samuel 16:7. The church camp people are going to love me because I picked the camp verse. That's for you, Ezra. So it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" As I met with Steve earlier this week, he was like, "So what do you think your title's going to be for this thing?" I'm just like, "Wait, title?" He's like, "Yeah, you know, like the one that's going to go on the Facebook page and the bulletin and all that kind of stuff." And I went, "Eh, that sounds daunting." So I'm a big music guy, so I started like listening to music, and I heard this song on the radio driving to work, and it was Casting Crowns, the song Only Jesus. And one lyric really stuck out to me in the chorus, and it was like, "I don't care if they remember me, only Jesus." And I really started to think about that and turn it over in my head, and I realized that we live in a culture designed around me. Not like me specifically, but like, we live in a culture that accentuates you and what you want. How many times have you heard, like, on the TV, watching TV, you hear commercials like, "Take this pill and lose 20 pounds. Or maybe, how many opinions do you hear of different people on social media? Everything is accentuated around me. I remember my parents would talk about it. They called it the me monster inside of me. It's like, me, 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 me. It's the voice in your head that goes, "I'm going to break this cookie in half that I have to share with my brother, but I'm going to keep the bigger half for me. Because I like cookies." So we called it the me monster all my life because that relates well with small children. But the place that I figured out is the biggest accentuator of the me monster is high school and middle school. I don't know how many times I've heard this, like, past year. It's like, "What do you want to do with your life?" And to that I say, that's a really good question. But in your teenage years, you're in this constant, like, identity crisis. You have no idea what you are yet. You have no idea what you want to base the foundation of your life around at this moment. So, what does our society say? Me. I want to base it around me. And I know because I've lived this. So, like all the other people who just came up talking here, I was saved at an early age at a church over in Bolivar. I'd gone to church all of my life, for as long as I can remember. And I lived my life blissfully ignorant. Because, you know, to a little kid, you just get saved and you get dunked in the water and you're like, I'm good now. Everything's okay. I punched the ticket. We're fine now. But you don't understand that there has to be this deeper relationship. It's not a ticket punch. It's not, I have to act this certain way to be this way. It's got to be a relationship. So I hit about middle school, which is about the stage that the awkward identity crisis starts. If you don't know a middle schooler, you once were a middle schooler. So you probably remember how awkward and smelly you were. Specific on the smelly part. So I went into middle school. I had just come off of church camp and like going my first summer of youth group. And I was like, okay, let's see what happens here. And I saw something on the outside of people who are always happy, who are always fitting into something, fitting their niche. And I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere. I constantly doubted myself. I constantly said, you know, I'm not good enough for this. I thought I was just another speck of dust inside of this vast universe. And if I would have had Jesus in this moment, none of this would have happened. Because Jesus says in like 1 Corinthians 13 or somewhere like that, love never fails. Love never fails. But in 7th grade, I struggled with depression. And I nearly attempted suicide one night in April. The only reason that I'm standing here before you today is because there was a voice inside of my head that said, I have more for you. And so the next night, I went and talked to Steve, and I was reminded of how much God loved me. And this is like a smaller application. If you feel this way, go talk to someone. You are loved. There are people that love you. There are people that care about you. The creator of the universe is on your side. You are loved. But this kind of plays into what I'm going to talk about further. To me, this was like my click moment. You know, you hear like all these, I call it a click moment, but you hear all these pastors and stuff like Matt Chandler. Guy had a brain tumor, struggled through it, thought he was going to die. And then all of a sudden, he's on fire for Jesus. Click. Or you hear about like, I almost said Jackie Chan, but that's not his name, it's Francis Chan. Francis Chan. But you hear about him, and he's like, his mom died in childbirth, giving birth to him. And then he struggles with this for all of his teenage and early adult years, and all of a sudden he's on fire for God. Click. I thought this moment was supposed to be my click moment inside of my brain. I was like, I'm good now. I've had the trial that God said, the big trial that people go through in their life. And now I'm good. I'm fine. I've done it. Let's go. That's another reason to punch this ticket over here. So then, but because of this click moment, this issue that was still inside of me was still there. I just glazed over it. See, I had what was called a heart issue. And not like cardiovascular disease or anything, but I have all this knowledge inside of my head, like what Emily and Lucas were talking about. We know the knowledge inside of our head, but are we connecting it down here to heart? Is your heart open for God? Is it only Jesus inside of you? So I went into high school, and I still have this heart issue going in, but I don't know because I'm good. I'm fine. But so I tried to build my life and identity on that thing that society wants us to build it on. Me. So I decided that I wanted people to remember the name Tyler Johnson because I was afraid of remembering myself as just another speck in the universe because I saw what it brought me to. So I decided if I had people who are always looking at me and saying that I'm doing okay and they can look at Tyler Johnson and go, you know, he's got it all together, that I could finally believe it inside of here. And not all of the things that I were doing were bad things. Not all the things that you do in life that distract you from God are bad things. I know a lot of really great people in high school who are the nicest people on the planet that aren't Christians. And you know people in your life like that as well. It's about what's in the heart issue. So for 2 years, I lived this lie of, I want people constantly looking at me. I want to be successful around myself. I want to build myself up to where people look at me and go, he's got it figured out. And then COVID hits, like it did for all of us. And everything that I had based my life on, the foundation of which everything happened, was gone. The social life where I was at school all the time and all my friends were with me, gone. I was suddenly stuck at home. All the clubs and the sports and everything where I was trying to be successful and win were gone. Some of the closer relationships I had with friends were gone. And I really spent this time, I was like extraordinarily angry at God. Because I was like, why would you do this? I've already had my click moment. I'm not supposed to go through this more. Why do I not feel anything? Why am I not feeling okay in this moment like I know I should? Because I'm supposed to have it all together. I'm supposed to be fine. I'm supposed to be okay. And I wasn't. So about that summer, I decided to myself that the only person that I have left in my life is me. I have to rely on me. That was a stupid decision. So I distanced myself as much as possible from not only God, but from other people. Because I didn't want to have to feel that hurt and broken again like I did in those moments. Because if I just relied on me and only stuck to me, I didn't have to feel that way. So I remember going through the school year, and I would try and do the same things that I had done the past 2 years. I would lead in the school in some of the like most hyped up pep assemblies that we've seen in a while, but then I would go home and I would cry because I didn't feel like I had anyone around me to be with me. I never felt any lasting joy through anything. All the clubs that I participated in before were either shut down again, or I was always coming up short in every single one. Again, it's relying on me. You can't do that. It came to a point where, during the year, I questioned if I was even a Christian anymore. Because I had not felt anything with another person, with another believer, or even with God in so long. So, then the summer hits. And I'm in a very, very broken place. Of course, I look okay on the outside, because that's what I want people to see. I put on the mask that most people do in their lives to say, yeah, I'm fine. Everything's okay. But then God does this little thing where he goes, hey, I'm still here. I remember sitting out on the beach while we were on vacation, listening to music, and I was looking at the waves, and I was, all of a sudden, I thought of like God in my head for the first time. And it was like, these waves are just relentless. And God was like, you know what, I am too. And I'm just like, whoa. But I didn't want to accept him at first because I didn't feel like I deserved it. I had gone so far away, I had run so far away that I didn't want to at all. But I was tired of just this cycle of brokenness and never feeling like I was ever truly happy. I just had fleeting happiness, this like momentary gratification, and then just leaves you even more empty than you were before. So I understood that something had to change. And it wasn't a click moment. It wasn't a specific person's words. It was Jesus working on my heart through months and months and months and saying, Tyler, you can't do this on your own anymore. You can't do this. It has to be about me. Only Jesus. I read you this verse of 1 Samuel 16:7. And in this verse, he's talking about David. And Samuel choosing David. If you look at the life of David, he was a murderer, an adulterer, and he messed up a lot, kind of like we do in our lives. You know what David's called in the Bible? A man after God's own heart. Where's your heart? Is it only Jesus? Where is it? During a summer camp at worship, I broke down crying, and I came down to an altar just like this one, and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. It has to be about you now. Only Jesus. So as we move into the application portion of this, I just want to ask you guys, where's your heart? Do you still have that heart issue? Some of you might have never accepted Jesus into your lives before. And I don't know. I don't know where your walk is. But I know that there's a Savior waiting for you with open arms. And no matter what you've done, He's going to say, come towards me. Love never fails. And maybe you're a Christian, but you're saying, you know, I've got some junk going on in my life. I've been saying me a lot lately. I need to start living for only Jesus. That's between you and the Lord. I can't make that decision for you. I can just show what God has done through my life and let that work through you guys. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this group of people in this room. I thank you for your never-ending love, that no matter how broken or how betrayed that we feel inside, that we can come back to you and you can have your arms wide open. And God, I pray that we look at you in this coming school year or this next rotation at work or anything like that. We say, God, I've been living for me a lot lately. I really like me, but I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of this cycle of just being broken. And I want to live for you. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Sunday morning pew would be crowded. Oh.